Tonight I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit because that's what God wants me to talk about. I forgot to write the scripture down that says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're still fulfilling the lust of your flesh, then you're not walking in the Spirit. I've even told some of you, your problem is you don't walk in the Spirit. And you looked at me like I was crazy, but I'm going to tell you again, you don't walk in the Spirit, and that's why you're still fulfilling the lust of your flesh. Because if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to do the things of the world. You're going to do the things of God. John 14, 15 through 18 tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. We need to understand that we are not alone. When Jesus left, he left us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper. And he's the one that's leading, guiding, and directing you. If you're walking in the Spirit, have to put that in there. If you're not walking in the Spirit, then you're leading, guiding, and directing yourself. You've been in a Spirit-filled church for how long now, and you're still not walking in the Spirit? What's the problem? Isn't that just not the church's problem? It's your personal problem. There's something that you're going to have to work out. First, there was God, then Jesus, and now the Holy Spirit. And God said to me, first there was God. He told me this a couple years ago. It was him. Then he sent his son, Jesus. Then he sent the Holy Spirit. None of that worked, and now he's back again. And he's back again with his wrath, because you wouldn't receive what he had. Why did he withdraw all the sign, wonders, and miracles 12 years or so ago? He told me it's because the people were walking all over his Holy Spirit. They were taking the Holy Spirit for granted, even pushing it out of their services, so he stopped everything that he was doing at that given time. And now he wants to bring it back. Now he's going to bring it back. And he's going to do whatever necessary to get the house of God ready to bring his glory into it. Do we really understand how awesome that is, that we are not alone? Well, I need a husband. I need a wife. No, you need the Holy Spirit. Well, I need a bottle of beer. No, you need the Holy Spirit. Well, I need another cigarette. No, you need the Holy Spirit. Well, I need a blunt. No, you need the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying? I need a 10-course meal. No, you need the Holy Spirit. Are you understanding what God's trying to say to us here? Jesus emphasized the following truths concerning our relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a promise of the Father. Luke 24:45, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, first of all, he opened their understanding. I believe some of you have the door still locked. The door to your understanding hasn't been opened up yet. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. He told his disciples, linger there until you receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If you look at Jesus' ministry, it never started until he received the Holy Spirit. Did it? He went down and got baptized, and the Holy Spirit came from heaven, landed upon him, and he started his ministry. So a lot of people are out there, just like this young man said, trying to do a ministry without the Holy Spirit, and it's not working. Oh, it is working, because there's a whole lot of people don't want the Holy Spirit. They're comfortable in their sin, they're comfortable in their cold church, and they're comfortable in their cold religion, and they really don't want anything to do with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit convicts you. It won't let you be, alright, it's like, I was sitting this morning listening to, I forgot what pastor it was, and he was talking about our words. I got really convicted. I said to my husband, this is really convicting me. Because what he was saying, I was doing with my words. How many of you sit and hear somebody preach and you get convicted because the Holy Spirit is in you? And when you hear the truth, it applies to you. And so you start doing something about it. Come on. Or do you sit there and act like, wow, somebody's really doing something wrong. Not me. After all, you know, I'm spirit-filled. No, you're not. Because if you're spirit-filled, you would be convicted if you were in the sin. I've told you, if your shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, walk away from it. Well, the shoe fit this morning, and I put it on. And I said, God, I really had. Didn't I tell you I had to change? I've got to change. I can't do what I'm doing with my words. And I'm thinking all the times I preached about we had to watch our words, I was doing what I preach. And I said to Larry, this is what God said when he said, be careful that when you preach to others, lest you should fall. And the enemy can just slip himself right on in there and cause you to say things or do things that you're not supposed to do. And then God will send a message your way because this is a pastor we don't usually listen to. And there he was preaching about your words. Who was that for? It was for little Barbara. That's why he put it out, that on that channel, and that preacher was speaking, because God wanted me to hear something, and I heard it, and I'm changing. Come on. Then he said, is that where I'm at? Then he said in Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. God told him to get up there and gather together because he was going to baptize them with his Holy Spirit. Question, have you received the third person of the Godhead into your heart and life? Oh, you might have shivered a little bit and had goosebumps run over your body, but if he's really in there, then you're not going to sin. You're just not. And you're going to be so convicted that you're going to do everything in your power to quit the sin that you're in. If not, invite him to come and take up residence within your heart. Ask him to baptize you with amazing presence and power. The Holy Spirit is the now. It is the Holy Spirit that's working in the church. In this age, the Holy Spirit is the resident, personal representative of the Godhead in the earth. He takes up his residence among us, around us, and in us. He should be among us, he should be around us, and he should be in us. The Holy Spirit is our ever-present Emmanuel, God with us. I love it when I see the Holy Spirit move upon people and they just sit here and start weeping and, you know, they don't even know what's going on. The Holy Spirit has come upon you. But what do you do with that Holy Spirit once you get up and walk away? Do you leave him lay there on the floor? Or do you take him with you? You know? What are you doing with the Holy Spirit? Are you allowing him to change you and rearrange you? Or are you just saying, drop the glory, Lord! You're not going to get it. You're not going to get the glory. If you aren't walking in the Holy Spirit, the glory is not going to hit you. I'm going to tell you that right now. Lost my place. The Holy Spirit wants to overtake each one of us. Is that where I'm at? All right. The Holy Spirit wants to overtake each one of us, overwhelm us, saturate and fill us with his divine presence. Now, God told me to teach on this. So God's wanting to do something with you people. God just spoke to me and said, some of you have the false Holy Spirit. You don't have the real thing. No, I didn't know that. You don't have the real thing. You have the false Holy Spirit, and you need to get rid of the false and get the real. How do you know if, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. How do you know if you have the false Holy Spirit? Because you still have your sin nature. You're still doing the things that you're not supposed to be doing. Therefore, you don't have the real Holy Spirit because the real Holy Spirit will convict you and clean you up. I just learned something tonight, all right? You cannot get too much of the Holy Spirit. You cannot get too much of the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill each of us. A little dab won't do you. of the Holy Spirit. You need all of Him over and over and over again until you come to a place where you're so saturated with Him that sin won't even enter into the picture. The scriptures depict His dwelling place. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God? That's each one of you sitting in here tonight. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You keep up your little sin nature and just see how long you live. It's more or less what I'm getting out of that. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's read that again. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I was talking to somebody the other day on the phone, and I won't mention name, but a famous minister was holding a revival, and they would go to this certain restaurant every day before the revival and get sloppy drunk, him and his, you know, entourage. And so the waitress said to this person that she knows, said, how come they come in here professing to be filled with the Spirit and get drunk before each one of their services? God moved in the revival that was going on, but He stopped it too. Then He made the person get straight. But look at the damage he did while He was dwelling in a dark place and still ministering. That never should be. The whole group wasn't being convicted of their sin. So I'm just wondering, was the Holy Spirit even there? Yeah, because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and the Holy Spirit will just walk away. He won't make you do anything. He will walk away. You can grieve the Holy Spirit where He'll walk away from you. The person came back and is ministering for God once again, not in the United States, but overseas. And many signs, wonders, and miracles are happening, but still in all, you know, a blemish was placed on the body of Christ because of that. Why do we do that? It's because the Holy Spirit left you. And you weren't even aware of it. And you were in your sin, doing your stupid stuff, and believing God was with you. He does leave you. Many, many times I've been up here preaching because of the sin in the congregation. The anointing just leaves. And I'm standing here thinking, what am I going to do next? Because without the anointing, I can't do anything. But God said, I'm not staying here. These people don't want me. Do you understand that, guys? That, you know, God won't stay. The Holy Spirit will not stay where He's not wanted. But then I'm standing here wondering what I'm going to do next. What do I do next? Absolutely nothing. We just close it. And try to do it where it won't make too much of a mess. Do you understand that you're all sitting out there? That you're the one that stops the moving of the Spirit? Because you're supposed to be Spirit-filled, ministering for the Lord, and being in sin. I had a person say to me one time, they said, I just want to word this just right. She was so Spirit-filled. She was so full of the Spirit of God. And her husband both went to church. And she said to me one time, crying, she said, how can this be? She said, the Holy Spirit, you know, he built her a little room just to go so she could pray. How can it be I can go into that room and pray, and then the glory of God just fills the room. The light comes in there. And, you know, I just sit in there for hours just in His presence. Then when I come out, my husband wants to have sex, and we do such ungodly sex. How can this be? You know, that woman is in a mental institution right now. I'm asking her too, how can it be? How can you claim to be a child of God so full of the Spirit and do ungodly sex? I told her, I said, that's not of God. And you need to stop it. But she loved him so much that she didn't want to lose him. She lost him anyhow. And then she went into a mental institution. Compromise is what that guy was talking about. And you can't do that. Just can't do that. You guys just need to get your mind screwed on right, because the stuff you do in sex, in your, I don't know why I'm saying this, but the stuff you do in your sex life is not godly. You need to stop it. I was preaching one time here years ago, and out of my mouth came these words. If God wanted you to masturbate, he'd put hair in your hands. Remember when I said, what? I was teaching on perversion and sin and everything at that time when it was going on, and just all, I was standing right back there, bent over in the spirit, and God said that. Come on. I lost my place again. Jesus is Lord over the church. Is that where I'm at? The Holy Spirit is Lord in the church. Jesus is Lord over the church. The Holy Spirit is Lord in the church. Make him Lord over your house by receiving more of him. And your house is you, your temple. All right? The main purposes of the Holy Spirit. What is the main purpose of the Holy Spirit? Now that we have received the Holy Spirit, what is his purpose among us, and what has he come to do? To form the corporate body of Christ, and number two, to prepare the body, the bride of Christ. Number one, to form the corporate body of Christ. Two, to prepare the body of Christ. John 14:16 refers to the coming of Jesus at Pentecost in the person of the Holy Spirit. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. God, you're never alone. God is always with you. Whenever you became born again and received the Holy Spirit, was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he came inside of you. And he's always with you. He's always there to lead, guide, and direct you. See, the problem with a whole lot of people sitting in the house of God today is that the Holy Spirit convicted, and the Holy Spirit convicted, and the Holy Spirit convicted, and you just kept pushing that aside, and pushing that aside, and pushing that aside. And then he left. You don't want him, he's not going to stay. You want to keep pushing him aside, then he's going to walk away. Wouldn't you rather lose a husband or a wife or a friend than lose Jesus and the Holy Spirit? That husband, wife, or friend is going to walk away from you. The Holy Spirit won't. The Holy Spirit will stay with you forever and ever and ever. And the Holy Spirit will be there when nobody else is there for you. In the quiet of your room, whenever you're just all alone and all you want to do is cry because you've just been so, you know, maimed and humiliated. But the Holy Spirit comes and he comforts you. Amen. Come on. There isn't a person in the world that can comfort you like the Holy Spirit can. There's nobody in the world that can satisfy you like God can. He satisfies every desire of your heart. John 14:3 refers to the second coming of Jesus in his own person at the close of the age. He said, and if I go and prepare, Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Jesus said he's coming back. He's coming back for you. But we have to keep ourselves spotless. He's not coming back for a soiled bride. We have to keep ourselves spotless. Three main purposes for which the Holy Spirit came. Number one, to complete the ministry of Christ. John 14:25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You know, that's what God told me when I wanted to go away to Bible school and somebody was going to pay my way. He said, no. I don't want doctrine of men in you. My Holy Spirit will teach you all that you need to know. Didn't mean that I didn't study. Didn't mean that I took Kenneth Hagin's courses and I forgot who the other guy's courses were. And you know, but I studied and everything, but God did not want me to, and see, I only did the Holy Spirit led people, filled people, and God did not want me indoctrinated with man's doctrine, and thank God he didn't. Because when I see religion, it just makes me want to puke. I watch people who think they're so godly and so all this and that and the other, and so full of the Spirit, and they're full of spirits all right, but they're not God's spirit, they're religious spirits. And then you tell them nicely, you know, you need to get out of your religion, get into the Spirit. Well, they get all uptight right then and there, shows you got a demon. Yeah, because you can't stand the truth, and the truth will set you free, you know. Come on. John 16:12 says, I still have many things to say to you. This is Jesus speaking, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit does the very same thing that Jesus does. He tells you what he hears the Father tell you to tell him. His job is to teach us, to train us, to lead, guide, and direct us. Jesus' job right now is to sit at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us, and it's God's job to bring his whip and bop us on the head. Get our attention. Amen. I'm sorry, guys, but it's not the sweet by and by stuff that we've been used to all these years. Church has changed. God has a new venue going, and he needs our attention. He needs our undivided attention. He needs our holiness. He needs a purity of heart. He needs a changed life. We can no longer be what we used to be. Amen. I really don't like what I am right now. I sort of liked what I used to be. I did like what I used to be, but God said I'm going to be something better. So, you know, I must be in that in-between thing, which I don't like, that we're talking about this morning. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. From the resurrection of Jesus onward, all activity of God was always and only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? From the resurrection of Jesus onward, all activity of God was always and only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. How do you think you're going to walk through the hospitals and you're going to raise the people up out of the hospital beds and they're going to go out there healed? Not with your religion. It's going to be with the anointing of the Holy Spirit that abides on you and in you and around you. That's what's going to clear out the hospitals. They keep saying, writing little articles, or the hospital's going to be obsolete. I'm thinking, I hope so. I hope that we get so spirit-full with the Spirit of God that we walk into those hospitals and just empty those beds right on out. And the doctors won't have any work to do. You know, they're just near killing you anyhow. Are you listening? But you're not going to be able to do that being full of religion. You're going to have to change. You're going to have to trade your religion for the Spirit. Not the dark spirit, but the light spirit. And you're going to have to go ahead and let God move in you and through you and around you. Come on. You know, God sends somebody your way so you can minister to them to save them, and you're as messed up as they are. Now, they walk away and say, well, they're as messed up as I am. What are they going to do for me? Absolutely nothing. Why? Because they don't have the Spirit of God. And that's why they're messed up. Once you get the Spirit of God, you know, you'll forget all the dumb junk. And all you want is God's good stuff. Amen. Romans 8:10 says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. See that? Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. I know God wishes that's true. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. You don't belong to God if you are not filled with the Spirit. Come on. How do you get filled with the Spirit? You walk away from them worldly things and you tell God, I don't want this religion anymore because it's killing me. I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit, and then let him fill you with the Holy Spirit. And verse 10 said, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And Acts 1:2 says, until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. See, when Jesus spoke to the disciples, the apostles, he did it through the Holy Spirit. How do you think God prophesies? He prophesies through his Holy Spirit. He does everything through the Spirit. How does he heal? He heals through the Spirit. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit's help to do his work, then don't you think that we need all the help we can get from the Holy Spirit as well? Jesus came straight from heaven, from the Father, from the throne of grace, and he needed to have the Holy Spirit placed in him before he could start his ministry. Do you ever stop and think about how many churches must be out there with no Spirit in them? You know? And the blind are leading the blind, everybody's falling into the ditch. I mean, if you don't believe that, just look what's going on in the churches today. God must be so grieved. The Holy Spirit must be so grieved, you know. We can operate in the same miracles as Jesus through the present day activity of the Holy Spirit. We can operate in the same miracles as Jesus through this present day activity of the Holy Spirit. We need to be equally dependent upon the Holy Spirit for Christian living. And you know, I keep reading what Jay Bartlett happens in his deliverance teams, and every time Jesus shows up. And I say to this team, why isn't Jesus showing up at your deliverances? What is it in you that's not right that the Holy Spirit or Jesus will not show up? Come on. Ask yourself that. Why is it that Jesus walks into the room, the angels walk into the room, the angels pick a person up and carry him up to the front? Jesus shows up and the devils scream and run out. Why aren't you so full of the Holy Spirit that happens? Good question. Wrong answer. I don't know. Wrong answer. Yes, you do. You're not full enough of the Spirit yet. You're not relying totally and completely on the Spirit of God. For the first time a couple of weeks ago in a vision, I was holding a staff meeting, and all of a sudden Jesus walked in and stood on my left side and started speaking. That was awesome. You know, I literally saw him walk in, and he was all in white, his white gown, you know, those things I used to wear. See, he walked in my dream, come into my dream. Is he coming into your dreams? Is he speaking to you in your dreams? If he isn't, why isn't he? These are things you have to ask yourself. Why is the Holy Spirit not so deep in me that Jesus himself will come and commune with me and I can see him? So I said we need to be equally dependent upon the Holy Spirit for Christian living. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Gabriel said to me tonight, we were standing waiting for Larry to unlock the car, and he said, it's really dark now, you know, and he said, Mama, aren't you afraid of the dark? I said, no, I'm not. I'm really not afraid of anything. I'm really not. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit's in me, and I know the Holy Spirit's protecting me and keeping me. I know the angelic host of God's round about me, and I have nothing to fear. A couple times he's heard me get upset about people. He said, aren't you afraid of them? I said, absolutely not. The God in me is greater than the devil in them. Come on. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to fear nothing. People are going to think you're stupid. Just because you know, the Holy Spirit's in you, Holy Spirit's keeping you. Just like that one time I came back from Pennsylvania and I walked in my house and nobody drinks or smokes in my house and I walked through my living room, my den, and here's such this lady on my sofa with her feet propped up on my coffee table of all things. How dare you? That's not what that thing was there for. Smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer. And I walked past her and I got instantly angry. Boy, I couldn't control the anger. I walked out in the kitchen, turned around and come back again. I said, you get your cigarette and you get your beer and you get your feet off my coffee table and you get out of my house. She said, do you know who you talk to? I said, I'm talking to you and this is my house and you've got to go. And I was angry. And so, boy, she went huffing and puffing out to her and her other girlfriend. And my daughter come running and said, what did you just do? I said, I just kicked her out of my house. She's smoking and drinking in here. And you know I don't allow that. Do you know who she is? I said, I don't really care. He says, she's a witch. I'm out there working on her van. And she's going to put spells in you. I said, she can't touch me. She's not staying in my house doing the things she's doing. He said, you don't understand what you just did. I probably didn't. No, not probably. I didn't. I don't care. This is my house and no witch or nobody else is going to come in there and take it over. Amen. Right now when I leave, they sneak around and smoke in my house and I'm having a terrible time. And I've never had smoke in my house in my life. I don't want your secondhand junk. You want to ruin your life, your lungs, your heart, you go right ahead, but you're not ruining mine. Come on, guys. No, I'm not afraid of them. I'm not. Because there's more for me than there are against me. God's mighty army is for me. And from what my word says, the angels of God will fight my battles for me. I didn't know that then, though, but I know it now. Come on. You don't fear nothing because the Holy Spirit is in you. We need to, well, Galatians 3:1 says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Oh, by the way, she died 2 months later. We need to start in him and finish well with him at the end of the age. We need to start in him and finish well with him. He has to be with us, constantly working with us. Number 3, the person of the Holy Spirit works with the bride, creating a great hunger for more of God. The Holy Spirit makes you hunger and thirst after the righteousness and after the things of God. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. 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 Come on. It doesn't cost you anything to drink of the water. Jesus says, come and drink with me. Come and dine with me. Come and sup with me. Come and be in my presence 24/7. Even when you're sleeping, you're in my presence. Amen. Not only is a present day work the work of the Holy Spirit, but also the ongoing and future work of God among his people is by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says, I forgot how it's stated, but I really believe it's something when something leaves the earth, then, anyhow, I think it's when the Holy Spirit is taken away. I forgot what that's called. I think that's what that's talking about. If the Holy Spirit's going to be taken away, then your junk's going to start. You know, guys, if that's the case, if that's what that scripture's saying, then that means you who are left behind, Brother Chris Lynch, to help the people that haven't heard of Jesus are going to have a time to go. You better be full of the Holy Spirit because you're going to need that anointing in you richly in order to do the works you're going to have to do. It's not going to be pretty. Amen. When you find it, let me know, Chris. Matthew 21:31 says, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. See that? Therefore, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. And you can do anything you want to. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. If you talk about the Holy Spirit, if you mock him, God will not forgive you for that. And Matthew 32 says, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. God is not going to tolerate you talking and doing things against the Holy Spirit. He's not going to tolerate you saying, I don't need the Holy Spirit. He's nothing. That's why God stopped the revival that was going on for years. It was because everybody was mocking the Holy Spirit. Just like the pastor who got drunk and then went out there and wanted signs, wonders, and miracles to occur. He was coming against the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12:31 says, "There is nothing done or said that can't be forgiven. But if you deliberately persist in your slanders against God's Spirit, you are repudiating the very one who forgives. If you reject the Son of Man out of some misunderstanding, the Holy Spirit can forgive you. But when you reject the Holy Spirit, you're sawing off the branch on which you're sitting, severing by your own perversity all connection with the one who forgives." So that scripture's telling me that the Holy Spirit's the one who forgives. Do you know how important it is to have the Spirit of God in you? To have the Spirit of God on you and around you? Do you know how serious it is for you to come against? There's churches all over the place that preach there is no such thing as the Holy Spirit. They're surely not in the protective hand of God. And if you're out there ministering, saying you're full of the Holy Spirit and you're full of sin, you're coming against the Holy Spirit too. And you're mocking God. We need to stop the junk that the church is doing in this hour. Come on. Something about that that's holding back is taken away. Well, you found it? No. Well, we want to read that scripture. I want you people in here tonight, when I see you doing the junk that you're doing, it's because you're not walking fully in the Holy Spirit. You're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct you. When you walk in all your hurt and all your rejections and all that kind of stuff, and it causes you to do things that's not right in order to be a stumbling block in front of somebody else, you're not relying on the Holy Spirit to be there to lead, guide, and direct. You're not depending on the Holy Spirit to give you the strength that you need to go forth and do the works that God's calling you forth to do. It takes the Holy Spirit to do this. See, you're not ready to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles yet, because it's the Holy Spirit that does the signs, the wonders, and the miracles. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit. And until you rely fully and totally and completely on Him, He's not going to be able to do the great mighty works that, God's not going to be able to do the great mighty works that He plans on doing. I wouldn't start one deliverance without, first of all, getting in the presence of God and ask the Holy Spirit to come into the room to help me. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't even come up here and preach without asking the Holy Spirit to take over my tongue and speak through me. I wouldn't do that. Come on. I'm hearing God say it's mind-boggling to Him how the body of Christ thinks they can move and have their being without the Holy Spirit. You know, I know the Bible says the Holy Ghost. I don't even like to say the Holy Ghost. It's in the Bible, but I just don't like to say that, so I always say the Holy Spirit. Some will say the dove of God. You know, it's the Holy Spirit. And I know He's ascended upon Jesus as a dove. I know that. But I like to call Him what He is, the Holy Spirit. Call Him by name. Give Him the honor that's due Him. Because I don't know about you, but I know if it wouldn't be for the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't even be here today. Amen. I know if it wouldn't be for God's holy angelic host, I've died 4 times and had to be brought back. When I had my little procedure on my heart and I went up there to Pennsylvania, wherever we went, New Jersey, wherever, and I was ready to go down to get the procedure done, this lady was in there to take me down, and this man came in, just a little old man, smiling, and she said, "I'm going to take her down." He said, "No, I'm taking her down. It's my assignment to do that today." And as he pushed me down, such a peace came over me. And he parked me outside the operating room, and he said, "You're going to be all right. The Holy Spirit's going with you into that room, and nothing can harm you." Well, I died on the operating table. And all of a sudden they're yelling, "Barbara, Barbara, Barbara," and slap me around, and running around her like crazy. And they got me. "We lost you for a few minutes, but that little old man told me it was going to be all right." I really think that was an angel of God. That man had such a presence about him. And she said, I'm taking him down there. Taking her down there, he said. See, God thought so much of me and cared so much about me, He sent somebody on a special assignment just to take me down there and to pray and to have the, I don't know if he's praying or what, but to have the glory of God over me and cover me so that the enemy couldn't take me out. Do you understand how much God loves you? Do you understand that, that His Holy Spirit goes wherever you go? And His Holy Spirit takes care of you. His Holy Spirit speaks to you and comforts you. You're not out there like a lone ranger with nobody with you. You don't have to have people. All you have to do is have the Holy Spirit dwelling richly inside of you and around you, working God's work through you. I wish that everybody walked in the Spirit. I remember whenever I used to go out on the road at first, you know, and Brother Chris would go with me, and I'd go in there, and the people were just so excited, you know, but the pastor's, whomp, you know. And, you know, and I would start singing our songs, and, oh, the pastors would get furious. Because the glory of God fell, and God was doing mighty, wonderful things, and they sort of sat there in the front row all puffed up with pride, you know, and no spirit in them at all, but I didn't care. The Holy Spirit in me didn't care. We just had a good time. He did what he wanted to do while I was there. They didn't bring me back. He already did a good job. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They didn't have to like you and invite you back. Because if they reject you, they're rejecting the Holy Spirit and what he's doing. And so you just go ahead and go in there just full of the Holy Spirit. You wherever God's sending you, just go there full of the Holy Spirit. Just get all excited about yourself, you know, that God, you're going in there with the Holy Spirit and that you're not going to do anything but the Holy Spirit is. And great and mighty things happens. But you have to be having fun with the Holy Spirit. You just have to be so full of him that, and when you get around sin, and when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you'll get angry at sin because you cannot deal with people hurting the Holy Spirit. You know, the God in you gets furious and said, how dare you do this to my Father? How dare you do this to the Holy Spirit, who is your comforter, your helper, your guide? How can you do this? Is what you'll be thinking. If it wouldn't be for him, you wouldn't be around. Amen. Did you find it? No? Oh, you found it. Now what are you doing with it now? All right, you put it up there. So there's 2 Thessalonians 2, starting at 3. Is that what we're doing? Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And that's what's going on right now, guys. And the man of sin is revealed, because God told me that. Don't do this too much in my eyes, or I'll go cross-eyed. The son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains the Holy Spirit will do so until he is taken out of the way. Right? It's work of the Holy Spirit, right? Some pastor says that's blasphemy. You know, I don't know. Well, just ask God. Go before the Lord and ask him. Is that talking about the Holy Spirit's going to be taken away? Because God said, I am going to remove my glory. And what is his glory? His Holy Spirit. So, you know, it's, we either believe God or we believe man. And you know, if you don't believe something, get into your word and get before God and seek God's face and ask God about it. When you start doing your ministry, you should always be full of the Spirit. You should always be asking the Holy Spirit to be with you, to prepare your sermons, write your books, or whatever you're doing. When that young lady I was prophesying to today, I saw a book unfolded in front of her, and she was writing, but Jesus himself was standing behind her, and he was dictating to her, and she wrote it down. And this is the way God, he doesn't want you to labor at nothing. He does not want you to have to labor at anything. He wants you to just be a vessel that he can work through. See, when I have to prepare a lesson, I feel that like that's labor. Because I have to sit there and do something. I just want to come in here and sail through here and just have the glory drop and just have God do his thing and people's lives be changed, people be healed, transformed, and then just go home. I don't have to work for hours searching and researching and typing and retyping, you know, and because when your fingers get fat, they don't hit the keys quite right, and you have to keep backtracking, you know, all that kind of stuff. Why would you, you know, you can't go to sleep because you have to study and everything. Why not just be so full of the Holy Spirit? You just come in and God says, it used to be that way, didn't it? I laid my message down to get down here and God start moving. Right now God's doing something, church, and I hope that you're understanding what he's doing, and I hope that you're letting him change you and rearrange you. Amen. Father God, we thank you for the teaching on your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father God, that this was for a purpose tonight. And I know that I know that I know, Father God, even as you're telling me right now, there are those in here who do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them richly. It's the same as they did with Jesus. They heard about him, but they didn't know him. They heard about the Holy Spirit, but they don't know the Holy Spirit and his functions. I'm asking right now, Father God, that you drop some revelation knowledge down into your people. I'm asking, Father God, that you give them more and more and more of the Holy Spirit tonight. I want you to pour it into them till they're so full and overflowing with the Holy Spirit that nothing else matters except you. So, as Father God, as they sit here, I'm asking right now to prick the hearts of the unbelievers, the ones that believe they really don't need all that, and then some. Like the pastors say that don't have the Holy Spirit, we don't need all that hullabaloo. Well, it's not hullabaloo, Father God. It's part of your kingdom. So I'm asking right now, Father God, for you to open up the heavens over your people. And I'm asking you, Father God, to drop that precious anointing that you have. That precious oil, Father God, that ran down Aaron's beard. And cover each one of your children here tonight with your presence. A presence, Father God, that will never leave them. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I want you to come slowly to the altar tonight. And I'm hearing that song, Just As You Are. Because God wants to cleanse. He wants to empty out. Then he wants to fill you with himself. He's making you new wineskins that he can pour himself into. Some of you have mindsets that are mind-boggling, and he wants to do away with that junk, and he wants to give you the mind of Christ tonight. He wants to restore to you all that the palmer and cankerworm have stolen from you. And by the way, that one young lady that was here this morning told me that November 1st started a year of Jubilee. And that is why I was so happy and excited, because God is giving us what he wants to give us today. That's it. Boy, just receive that.